film. Should we get into it? Like, this is... Can I just say, this was really bad.
What?
Oh my god, did you like it? Oh shit.
I love this movie.
What? Oh no. Okay. Yeah, this will be a fun episode because I was like pissed at how bad this movie was.
Yes. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Tub.
And I'm Jonesy.
And
we watch movies. The cadence is so hard to match.
Never going to do it.
We're never going to do it,
but
yeah,
that's okay.
That's fine.
Nothing is perfect.
Nothing's ever perfect.
Speaking of perfect.
Oh, God. Okay.
Let's talk about the movie I loved.
Woof.
Psycho Goreman.
Woof. All right. So, quick spoiler-free synopsis. Essentially, a little girl happens upon a device that can control a hell-spun demon. I picked up on some influences that I did appreciate, like from, it seemed like it reminded me of like Power Rangers.
Oh, big time.
Mars Attacks. Maybe a little Star Wars influence in there. Even maybe a little Hellraiser influence.
There's a Star Wars reference scene that I really enjoyed.
Well, the intro?
No, when they're when they show like the Council of Aliens.
Uh-huh.
And there's the one like the one guy that's like always kind of talking and chirping. Pandora's talking or whatever, and she's talking about her plan, and I think he says something along the lines like, "That's not that great of a plan." And then she's like, "What do you mean by that?" And it's the whole like, and then she grabs him by the throat.
Oh,
and, like,
that,
him up,
yeah,
the wall.
Totally. Very Darth Vader.
Yeah, it totally reminded me of the Darth Vader scene.
But yeah, so you loved this movie? Really?
I love this movie.
Are you serious?
Not ironically. This movie is fucking hilarious.
Non-ironically, you loved this movie.
This movie is comedy gold.
So to me, the acting for the adults reminded me of a porno, straight up. And the acting of the kids reminded me of like a Disney Channel original TV show, but more exaggerated.
I could see that.
I just was like, this is so horrendous. I can't believe you enjoyed it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. This movie's a lot of fun.
Really? You didn't think the like little kids were irritating as fuck?
The little kids were hilarious.
What?
Yeah, when they
played
a little...
Oh, my God.
Okay, so the movie starts out with like a credit, or not, almost like a Star Wars title crawl, but it's basically just telling you all about who Psycho Goreman is.
And which isn't his name yet.
Not his name. Not his name. Yeah. He was some sort of like indentured servant to this religious group thing. And he was from the planet Gygax, and he grew too powerful and wanted to destroy everything that was quote unquote good and just in the universe.
Right.
And before he could, the quote unquote forces of light defeated Psycho Goreman. So he was imprisoned in a place far beyond their reach, and that place was Earth.
Right.
Fast forward to present day, and there's two kids playing this made up game with a bunch of crazy wacky rules, and none of it makes sense.
Crazy ball.
Crazy ball. The mom called it kooky ball later too. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, she was corrected swiftly. My first handwritten note for this entire thing, besides the Star Wars type storybook intro, was brother sister playing in yard, shitty acting.
Dude, when she says that the winner is going to be champion and the loser gets buried alive, and then she wins, and then she makes her brother dig his own grave, hilarious.
Woof.
Awesome.
I mean, that's not what bothered me. It's just the terrible acting. Like, immediate suspending any belief. Like, there's no way he dug that big of a hole. Their parents just, like, don't notice, I guess.
I mean, I don't think it's that kind of movie, though.
It's definitely not.
No.
It's definitely not. It reminds me of, like, a knockoff movie that you would get in a cereal box.
Like a cereal box movie?
I really hated this. I can't believe you liked it so much. I don't think we've ever disagreed this much about a movie.
Not
ever.
Yet, no.
Yeah. Not. I don't think so. But anyway.
But they play crazy ball. So they play this crazy ball game, and the kid starts digging his grave because he's going to die now.
He lost.
He lost, and they find this little pink little device, like a little pink light. And it's some sort of whatever. They don't know what it is. And the sister decides, because this sister is like a nutcase. She's a total bully nutcase and treats everyone like shit, as the parents wrapped around her finger, specifically the dad.
The parents are just a total loser. Both of them are just horrible.
I love the parents.
Wow.
Especially the dad, because he's just such a piece of garbage. Well, but there's these cute moments between the daughter and the dad, though, that I thought were funny.
Sort of. Yeah. The funny thing is how much you enjoyed this movie. And like, I'm like looking at my notes and all my snarky little comments. Like, I wrote, everyone's acting so far is unbearable. Like, at this point, we've met both of the parents and the kids, and they're just awful.
Can't win them all.
Did you really? I mean, you thought even the acting was good? I mean, I guess it was like...
I mean, I guess maybe we judge movies differently.
We must. I guess we do.
I think acting is less important than most people let on. Especially in a movie about a girl with a rock that can...
It just feels like it could have... I felt like it had so much potential, and I was completely let down.
I mean, the acting was better than 90% of Willy's Wonderland, though. I'll say that. Like, well, the teenagers in Willy's Wonderland were way worse than the kids in this movie.
Oh, I don't know. That little girl irritated the shit out of me.
I thought she was so good because she was annoying. She was perfect.
Yeah, she was really
it.
Annoying. They were all really, like, and then the brother is just, like, the most pathetic, like...
bland-ass kid with no personality. I loved it, though. Like, Psycho Goreman never remembers his name.
Yeah, that, like, running gimmick. I thought that was kind of funny.
I thought that was hilarious. And then at the end, he's just like, boy.
Yeah. I mean, the only redeeming quality I found in this entire film were Psycho Goreman's lines. Like, he had some pretty, like, badass... lines. I loved
his lines. Yeah, they were awesome.
One part that I thought was a little confusing. So all right, so they've dug this hole, they show the family dynamic a little bit more, that like, okay, they take this game really seriously, they all know Morse code, I guess, so they're like Morse coding messages.
They tap to each other through the walls at night, where everyone can hear it, and then the mom taps back at him later. It's like obvious you guys are gonna get caught.
Yeah,
but it did make me laugh though. The line about how the one kid's like convinced that their grandma was buried in the backyard.
Yeah,
and then Mimi, the sister, tells him that grandma's in hell. She's gonna be there forever.
That I did think that was a funny line. I'll give him that. But then the scene right after that, so now we find ourselves, there's like thieves that are together in like a dump, and they're all like talking about their latest score.
These weird ass guys too, like they're quite the Motley Crue. They actually look like Motley Crue, like present day.
A little bit.
It's not that far off.
That one guy's like 80 years old. That's like in their little ragtag group.
I think the guitarist for Motley Crue.
That's true. Like, I was just going to say.
80 years old.
Yeah. So, no, there was just this one part that stuck out to me. So, the thieves are all together. They meet Psycho Goreman. He kills them. And it actually, like, probably the coolest scene in the whole movie. But there's this one character that makes a comment that says, I don't want to die. And he says, then live forever. He was, like, trying to kind of keep him half alive as, like, a zombie thing.
He was art.
Yeah. Okay.
He made him into artwork is what I got out of it. Because that was one of my favorite scenes. Is so, okay, so he's got this guy all posed up and his eyes are kind of rolling in the back of his head.
Yeah.
And he's just in like a stasis. And then later when the kids are there, I think Luke knocks him over onto the ground and he his head explodes and his head's like ripped all apart on the ground and he just mutters out, thank you.
Yeah. Wait.
And then Psycho Goreman freaks out and he's like, oh, my masterpiece.
You ruined it. Yeah. Did you notice that when his face was like splattered on the floor, it looked just like the guy from Hellraiser?
It kind of did.
That's such a like weird detail to notice, but I think just like it's been kind of cool to notice these little comparisons between the films every week.
Yeah, there's another one later too. I don't really remember what it is. It's somewhere in my notes.
There's another one right here, actually. Like right after that, they show the thieves. They go back to, oh, the family tries to cover up the hole, and the dad hurts his hand.
In the most pathetic fashion.
In the most pathetic fashion. And again, just like in Hellraiser, he like goes to his wife and is like, hey, help. Like
really, really, for real. Like oddly, like fucking Larry.
Isn't that weird? These are things that I feel like no one else would notice that if you don't watch them in order. I guess
quite the parallel. Quite the parallel from two highly probably unrelated films.
Yeah, totally. Like they probably weren't thinking that, except for the face thing. That was very.
Oh yeah, I'm sure some of the gore, I mean, you could, yeah, some of the gore is probably inspired by it. The gore was pretty, the gore was pretty good.
It was pretty good. I liked when he popped those two guys' heads off. I thought that was pretty, that was my favorite kill.
And it happens nice and quick, too. Like, it doesn't leave you stringing you along too much.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, and then the dad broke his hand doing nothing. And then, where did we go from there?
My notes are so bitchy. I wrote, they really try to play up the cool, quirky little girl and her wimp brother, like, act. They really do. To me, it was so, like, cheap that, like, it didn't work for me. But I'm glad
I could see that. Like, I could see why people wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
But that's why I like being me, because I like things that maybe other people don't like.
Hey, well, good for you. Yeah, I was thinking that you probably wrote this down, that device that she controls him with is called, it's either called the Gem of Proxides.
I didn't want to say it because it sounds like something else that it doesn't look like, at least the subtitle. Like,
what, yeah, Proxides?
It's, yeah, I will go with that one, Gem of Proxides.
There's that, or there's the Geminia 1.
Well, the Geminia 1 is the holder of the Gem of Proxides.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Interesting. Okay. I feel like also the special effects were intentionally kind of like throwback 80s.
Oh, yeah, like old school 80s campy, yeah. Special effects.
That was
costumes.
Fun. Same thing.
Yeah, I really liked the music and the costumes and the makeup and all the simpleness about it. And the uniqueness too of like all the different creatures that show up. It's not like they were like stock, you know, unoriginal things. They were quite original.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were things that I really liked about it. There was one part that I did think was really cool that we'll get to. But okay, yeah. So the next place we get to is they show that committee of the galactic, they're like mostly animatronics. They were kind of fun. Very Jim Henson.
Yeah, a lot of different types of aliens there. We have a guy with a brain and some eyes. And
he
like
reminded me of Mars Attacks.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
That one guy.
And then the guy next to him, he was fun.
Yeah, they were kind of cool. That like intergalactic committee. They were called, they have a name. He called them the Templars. The Templars and their planetary alliance.
Okay. Yeah, because then the main Templar is Pandora.
Pandora. Mm-hmm.
That comes in, and she's kind of like the big bad of the group, from what I understand. Because the Templars, from what I understand, are kind of in control of pretty much everything.
They're like the government of the universe, basically. So that, like, this is the part we get to where we learn the story of who Psycho Gorman is and where he came from.
Yes, the Archduke of Nightmares.
The Archduke, yeah, that's a sweet name.
It is pretty cool.
The entire committee is like, oh, there's no way he could be dug up. And they're like, what? He's back?
But yeah, of course he's back, because otherwise it wouldn't be a movie.
Right. So Psycho Gorman is currently living basically in, like, it used to be a shoe factory, this, like, abandoned warehouse that he's decorated with the entrails of those thieves that he murdered.
Yeah, like art, straight up. Like, he has like the one guy kind of like his pieces like strewn about like a chain link fence.
On the fence. Yeah, that was pretty cool. It reminded me of like how a haunted house is decorated on the outside, like a fake, like a commercial one when you're like.
Yeah, I could see that.
It was very definitely fun.
It felt very 80s or 90s where like everyone would just dwell in like a uninhabited warehouse for like who knows how many days on end.
Sure, with the trash can burning.
Running power and yeah, like all that stuff.
So yeah, and the girl realizes, I don't even think we mentioned that she realizes that she can control him with this little device.
Yeah, with this little rock, this little gem.
Great. So then we get introduced to Alistair. This like cocky little shit.
Well, they also he says at one point later too that he wants to go play some vids.
Yeah, I know. That's I noticed that too.
And this is it's a Canadian movie.
Oh, is that a Canadian
So I'm assuming it sounds Canadian, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Time to go play some vids.
Gonna go play some vids, eh?
I could see it. Sure. But no, that reminded me of when like back in the day when you'd be playing Nintendo and every video game was either Nintendo or tapes. And you'd be asked if you're playing your tapes because that's what the boomers back then used to say to the gamers.
Are you winning?
Yeah. Yeah, Dad.
But yeah, so we first meet Alistair and we realize that, what's her name?
Mimi.
We have a homeowner at work named Mimi who is like... very much the opposite. She's like this old lady. She's fine.
It sounds more in line with an old lady's name.
Yeah, that's like the first thing I think of. I like think of her home.
It reminds me of Drew Carey because there was a lady on Drew Carey with a lot of makeup named Mimi.
When I was a kid, I used to think that character was also played by Drew Carey.
I could see it.
I was like blown away when I realized that was like an actual person.
I mean, if you caked enough makeup on
them. Yeah, that's what I thought they did.
Probably be pretty close.
It like blew my mind. That's neither here nor there.
Well, and back to when they had the villains too. I did think this was kind of funny. When all the villains are talking and Pandora figures out that she needs like a human form.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She has like her little droid thing conjure up a human from Earth or whatever.
Who's just like went to the living room to get a glass of water and is like, oh, why am I here?
Just ripped out of nowhere. And then she puts her in this like little light cube that reminded me of Dune when they have like their little shields in Dune.
Yeah.
But it put her in this little shield and then just crushed her down into this beating heart blood cube.
Yeah.
And then smashed her into the arm of her chair and then like wiped the blood all over her face.
Yeah.
And then became like a human form of the
lady. Her form. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was weird, but that was cool.
It was cool. Yeah. I was trying to follow what was happening with that too. But I think it was one of those things that actually, you know, when you're a kid, speaking of Power Rangers, you know, if you watch Power Rangers and as an adult and you're like, what the fuck is going on? But as a kid, you're like, it doesn't matter. It's like, this is just a cool thing that happens, and that's a cool thing that happens. Their attention span is so short that they just, like, don't really care. That's what that reminded me of. It was like, this isn't getting explained. Just accept it like you would if you were a child. Back to the kids. So we meet Alistair. They decide to show off Psycho Goreman to their friend Alistair. And we find out that Mimi has this major crush on this kid, and he's friends with Luke, her brother.
Yeah, the plain, normal, boring kid.
I feel so bad for him the whole time.
Well, yeah, and then she makes him carry the TV, like the old box TV, like from home the shoe factory.
Yeah, okay, so they decide to bring Psycho Goreman entertainment while he's basically being held as a pet.
Yeah, she tells him to sit down and shut up, basically, until the next day when they bring him amenities.
So she forces her brother to bring this TV for him and brings him, like, blankets and just basically is like, okay. Psycho Goreman tells more of his story of, like, where he came from, which that girl was not interested in at all.
No. Not at all. You're constantly interrupting him, and he's trying to tell him all these stories, and they just don't care.
This did bring me to one part that I did think was really cool, that after the kids left, Psycho Goreman realizes, oh, there's power in this little box, the TV. And he, like, puts his hand on it and starts to communicate with his, he calls them the Paladins.
The Paladins Obsidian.
Yeah, they're, like, his tribe of people. And as he talks to them, the screen gets fuzzy and bleeds, which just, I like that shit. So that definitely, that appealed to me.
I liked the bleeding TV. I thought that was pretty fun.
It was fun.
And so he basically reaches out to them and lets them know that this little girl has the gem of, I forgot, I'm not even going to try to say it.
Praxidice or...
That, yeah.
Yeah. The gem. I know. It sounded like a slur.
She has the gem. And yeah. He's letting them know that, and he wants them to in turn come to Earth and kill her. So that he could be set free and he could destroy all living life, basically.
Yes.
And before that, though, I think, wasn't there the scene where they're going through all the stuff, like the TV and everything, and she gives him the magazine?
That's right. Yes.
And he's like, I don't care for this stuff, basically. But then he looks down and she's like, well, you know, look at all the hunky boys.
Yeah.
And then they show a quote unquote hunky boy on there, and he looks down and he's like, I don't care for hunky boys, or do I?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. And it comes back later on.
It does. The power of the hunky boys. Oh, and then with the Alistair kid, too, when he's trying to be polite to Psycho Goreman, and when they're leaving the shoe factory and he says, what does he say? It was nice meeting you. And then Psycho Goreman said, it would be nicer if you were dead.
And the kid was just like, all right.
Whatever, dude.
Bye, thanks. I don't know. Like, I like that you liked it. Like, I'm happy for you that you enjoyed it. I thought it was so dumb and gimmicky and, like, it overreached. You know? Like, for me, I feel like if it was, like, 100 times more subtle, I would have enjoyed it. Like, I feel like if they would have put effort, like, had...
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I know, but I mean, like, had good acting, intentional acting.
I think the acting was intentional.
Okay.
It's got to fit, like, a kind of... It's got to fit in its box, even if it's, like, kind of cringy, you know?
It's, like, super duper, like, unwatchably cringy, though. In my opinion. We're here to talk about what we think. This is what I think. I am not going to hold back. But
don't,
I'm glad that you liked it. So, okay. So, shortly thereafter, we get to the point where Alistair wants to play vids. And the girl wants to throw basketballs at her brother in the driveway.
For fun, as you do.
For fun, as you do. And so she ends up being like, well, this sucks. Like, you know, Alistair's playing with my brother. They're playing vids, and they're not playing with me. So she summons Psycho Goreman to play with her in the backyard. And he talks to her and says, well, you know, I once helped some creature seduce some other creature on some distant moon or something. I can help you with that. And she's like, okay, yeah, do it. And then for some reason, he turns this kid into this giant brain creature.
The brain blob with eyeballs. Again, fucking aces. We need to turn more kids into fucking brain balls, brain blobs.
We forgot to mention the whole gimmick about the dad cooking chicken in the microwave and everything.
Yeah. The brave dad dinner.
Yeah,
yeah, and he cooks the whole chicken and fucking blows it up in the microwave.
Yeah, he's just like it's just over the top dumb.
I think it's trying to say about like how parents tend to like not give a fuck what their kids are doing.
Yeah.
And they're just like totally aloof. They don't even fucking care about each other. They're just there to hang out and fucking microwave chicken dinners.
I guess. The dad cares about his bat because the mom goes to attack Psycho Boorman with that bat. He's like, my lucky bat.
He's such an ass.
He's total ass. And she, I mean, they're both just like such shitty parents that they just like let that girl run the show.
It's totally unrealistic. But then again, as soon as I say that, I have to remember my 10 years of working retail, and it's not that unrealistic. Because I've seen that shit.
It's pretty bad. People are pretty fucking dumb. Yeah, it's just so bad. But that dynamic was definitely the case in this family. So then after that, they break into... My note right here just says, this movie is atrocious. Like, I just hated this movie so much. But they break into this terrible kid band music montage called Go Frig Yourself or Go Freak Yourself.
Yeah, Frig Off. Frig Off.
Frig Off, yeah.
Frig Yourself.
And then I guess that kid just stays a giant brain. He's, like, in the band as a giant brain.
Forever. And nobody says, nobody notices it. Nobody says a thing about it.
Everyone treats it like that. Yeah.
He plays games. He eats dinner. He fucking makes music.
Say this is dumb. Like, it just drives me nuts. I don't know. To me, it's just like too obvious. Like, it. I wish this script was given to Tommy Wiseau. Then I would enjoy it.
It would have made a lot less sense. I'll say that.
Which would have been even better. For me, it's either movies that are really, really bad, but they mean well, are hilarious.
Well, I think it also brings up the discussion of, like, good and bad.
Yeah.
And what, like, that means.
So bad it's good, and so...
Well, and, like, in this movie, I don't even think it's bad.
Yeah, I think it's bad.
That's how it kind of goes with everything, though, with me. Like, I like to throw a lot of
curveballs,
surprise pitches out there.
You're just like, this movie's great. I can't believe it. That's funny. So anyway, we get to the point that they do that horrible montage, which I'm sure you were just loving it.
A kid blows up after telling him he has a nice Halloween costume. It was awesome.
We find the girl is a straight up bully. So then they have the scene that they're sitting at the diner, and the girl goes to take some of the boys, her brother's fries. And we kind of see this breaking point where Psycho Goorman recognizes that he is really getting to a point where he's had it with the bullying from his sister.
Yeah, he notices he's got a moment where he can get in and maybe talk to this boy, because he doesn't know his name.
Yeah.
And maybe get him to work on his side a little bit. I also like when they show that, where they connect eyes, because they were all eating, and Psycho Goorman just takes his food with the plate and all and just, like, shoves it into his face.
Yeah.
And inhales it. And afterwards, when they're looking at each other, he's just got, like, shit all over his face.
Yeah. There were a couple lines that he said that I did chuckle despite myself, because I was just so pissed the whole time. But, like, there was actually one very subtle part towards the beginning where they ask him, they say something like, well, what planet are you from? Like, kind of, like, as a joke. And he was like, Gygax. Like, he, like, doesn't even, that part I kind of chuckled at.
Well, yeah, so, everyone should know what Gygax is.
He's like, well, yeah, I am from a different planet. So this is where Psycho Goorman is like, all right, I'm going to get in and I'm going to talk to the boy, Luke, on his own. And he can only access him privately through his nightmare realm.
Seeing as he is the Archduke of Nightmares.
That's true. Yeah, see, that's very thing. It does make sense. So that was kind of cool.
This scene's pretty cool. And are you familiar with the movie Phantasm?
Oh, my God.
With the tall man.
Saw that movie a long time ago, if I'm thinking of the same.
But this scene is like shot for shot reference to a nightmare scene in Phantasm with the old man. And he's like, boy. And then all these zombies come up from underground and take over the kid. It was like the same exact scene.
Okay, maybe I haven't seen
that. But almost like it's satirized, like like as like a satire kind of
thing.
That's
the thing. It seems like this movie really references like a lot of different movies. Like maybe yeah. that's on purpose. I don't know. I didn't actually look up this movie at all. Did you?
I did a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
I did a little wiki dive.
But yeah. All right. So then we get to the Mimi, Luke, Alistair the Giant Brain, and Psycho Goreman are all together and they're trying to play crazy ball.
They're getting crazy ball started and two cops show up. Because they hate fun and they hate this movie.
Yeah.
And they're named Jonesy, both of them.
Fuck you. I'm not a cop. I thought this part was kind of cool, actually.
The cop part I thought was really funny.
Essentially, we don't even really know why the cop is there at all. He's like, get away from those kids.
the only thing I can think of is that maybe during that montage that like took like a good chunk of the day, and they've been getting calls like throughout the day like, hey, there's this like bluish pink guy and he's going around blowing kids up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
stuff. And then they finally catch up to him. Yeah, he's followed around by this brain blob with two giant eyeballs.
Can't miss him.
He's like three,
a cowboy.
He's like 3 foot tall. Yeah, I love the cop scene. I thought it was funny. And Psycho Goreman is dressed just like Alan Grant from Jurassic Park.
Oh my God. Yes, absolutely.
That was fucking dope too. I liked that little reference.
So wait, do you think that was an intentional reference?
100%.
100%. Interesting. 100%. So it sounds like there are like, because I would not have made that connection until you just said that. And I was like, oh yeah, that's totally what he's dressed as. So it seems like there are a lot of intentional references.
It's like an I Spy movie of references.
Psycho Goreman puts his hand on the cop's head. He's very much like, these are the people that defend your guys', you know, like, who is this guy? And he melts the cop's head, but he doesn't fully die.
Wait, and he melts the gun to his hand, too, so it's like...
Right.
Totally stuck to him, and he's just like this melted mutant kind of freak type situation.
Just desperately wants to die.
Yeah, he calls him a soulless husk.
Yeah,
at one point, and he's constantly just shooting his gun too.
It's almost like he can't control the impulse; like it's yes. just going off.
And the kids will be walking in front of him, and the gun will just be like flopping around, firing like. Pff, pff.
Yeah. I wonder if this is the reference that you were thinking of. I found a reference to, I don't think they intended this reference at all, but just because of our show, I noticed that she called him a dog when she asked him to. Did you notice that?
Yep, you got it. You found
that
it.
Was what it was. Okay, I put that in my notes. It's funny because it's like, we are going to find these connections with all these movies that we are watching that no one else. Like, they're definitely not intentional. They're just us picking up on them.
Yeah, it's just going to happen. And especially, like, going over, like, the notes and watching the movies over and over again, like, certain things will pop out. And then it's, like, these threads that go from one episode to the next.
It's super weird. It's kind of weird. I like it, though.
Yeah, yeah. Cool stuff.
Cool stuff. So now they're in the woods. They are this ragtag bunch. We've got the cop now with them who just makes a card for Mimi that says, please kill me.
Yeah, he's had it. He just doesn't want to exist anymore. I mean, look at the poor guy.
Yeah.
He's all melty.
He's melty. He can't control his gun hand.
Yeah, he's got a gun hand. Like.
And then meanwhile, Pandora is at the police station.
And that was another pretty funny scene because she comes in asking if anyone had known about Psycho Goreman, basically. And the cop that was with, I think his name was Vince, the guy that got turned into the mutant freak cop.
Yeah.
The guy that was with him is like, yeah, I saw it, but the thing just came up and melted my buddy and all this stuff. And the guy that she asks is just like, no, never heard of him.
Yeah, not paying attention, doesn't care. Yep.
Doesn't give a shit. And then so she goes over, sticks her hand on his head, and basically takes all the information that he has from what he saw with Psycho Goreman melting his body and all that shit. And I also thought it was funny that I think it was that guy's birthday. the Vince character, the guy that got melted, there's like a picture. When that scene starts, there's like a cake and it says like a happy birthday, Vince. And it has his picture, like his face, like next to the cake. And so they were supposed to be like celebrating his birthday, but he got turned into that.
Okay, that's kind of funny. That I can appreciate. I didn't even notice that.
This shitty old guy too, that's just like doesn't even have his computer monitor on.
Yeah.
They're like asking him questions. He's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. He's like, I'm just here until I can go. Yeah. So then meanwhile, Psycho Goreman's friends, the Paladins, come in the woods. That's the part that really reminded me of Power Rangers. Like, it was very Power Rangers.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big Power Rangers vibes in this one.
Yeah.
For sure.
And Psycho Goreman is like, okay, great. Glad you're here. You can kill these kids.
Yeah, I love how nonchalant he is, too. He's like, okay, now they're here. All right. We're good. All right. Do them. Do them in.
Which, of course, does not go according to plan for Psycho Goreman.
No. They tell him how better it's been since he's been gone.
Yeah. And they're like, well, this is actually working really well for us.
Yeah, we don't really need you anymore, PG. Yeah. Fuck you. We're done. We're through with ya.
Yeah. And Mimi is pissed because she's like, well, he doesn't like us. And then they flip to a random fight with the parents where they're also throwing the word frig around a lot. Like, they're like, frig you.
It's a Canadian thing.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I guess I didn't know that.
I know that mainly from watching Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, okay. So then Psycho Goreman comes out and scares the dad with this kind of, what do you want to call it?
Well, we skipped over the whole fight.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
So basically when they're in the forest, the Paladins Obsidian come, and we were talking about that a little bit where he tells them to kill the little kids, doesn't work.
Right.
They're about to attack him. He goes to attack them, and then Mimi stops him from attacking them because he was going to kill kids with the Obsidian Paladins of Obsidian.
Right.
And so she lets him get his ass kicked until he apologizes.
Right.
He shoots her an apology. She doesn't accept it. And then he gives her a more heartfelt one. She accepts it. And then this is where it gets super Power Ranger-y when he starts fighting back, because there's some straight up things lifted right from Power Rangers.
Right.
When one of the enemies gets hit with a sword across the chest and there's like sparklers going off and like sparks yeah. going everywhere.
Yeah.
First thing I thought of was Power Rangers. And then there's like little bits where it's slow motion when people are kind of maybe getting flipped around or doing like kicks and flips and stuff. Super Power Rangers.
Yeah, that entire scene reminded me of Power Rangers, which I loved as a kid. But have you ever watched Power Rangers as an adult though?
Multiple times.
Do you get what the fuck is going on?
All the time.
Really?
It's a show for 5-year-olds. It's very simple.
No, I know, but I have literally rewatched it like babysitting growing up and just been like, how do I not get what's happening?
Well, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Like, I guess it does. It doesn't make sense in like a logical standpoint.
Right. That's
once
what it is.
Once you understand the foundation of like how everything works, then you can like trick yourself into it making sense.
The bad guy. Okay, now they're arguing, but now they're cool. All right. Like, as a kid, it was like, what's there to get? Like, it's very straightforward. As an adult, I'm like, what the fuck? Lose the magic. You didn't, though. That's great.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying I like sit there and weep over it, like when somebody dies or something. It's just fun. I'm just not soul sucked to the point where I don't enjoy things anymore.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So they fight in the woods. Psycho Goreman he realizes that they've played a trick on him, and it's a crafty trick in that he's dying.
Yeah, they use his blood, I think he said, against him. Like, they laced their weapons with it, and it almost poisoned him and did damage to him. Mortally wounded him, or so he thinks.
Yeah, and he bleeds this, like, Pepto-Bismol. That's when Psycho Goreman appears to the dad.
Even some nice toilet humor here, literally. Because he appears to him when he's taking a dump. After they got done arguing about how he's a lazy piece of shit, which he is, and they have this super nonsensical argument, and then he goes to the bathroom, yeah. takes a dump, and he's like trying to finish the argument while his wife isn't there so that he can like get this small little victory while he's taking a dump. And then a J.J. Abrams lens flare flies into the room. And what is it? Oh, Psycho Goreman, basically saying, hey, dude, come help me. We need you to come help me. And then he goes away and he's like, wait, I don't know where. And then he comes back screaming, oh, and he gives him directions. But since Greg, the dad, is too big of an idiot, he asks him again, like, I really don't know where that is. And so he gives him even more elaborate directions. And then eventually he makes it to the two children and Psycho Goreman, who is mortally wounded and kind of just laying on the concrete. And they load him up into the back of the family pickup truck and they make him move over to put Mimi's little like wheelbarrow thing for kids. I don't know what those things are called. They put that in there in the back, make him move over, and then they just drive off with him in the back of the truck.
Meanwhile, on one side, Psycho Goreman is saying, look, I need that gem thing. The whole thing that you've, the whole point of this movie that you've been holding on to it, I really need it because I'm dying. And at the same time, the mom is drinking this Kool-Aid potion from Pandora.
Yeah, and I got to speak on the Kool-Aid stuff, too, because normally in movies, when they have like a fake colored looking drink, or even in real life, when you have like Barbicide or like, you know,
what's Barbicide?
Embalming fluid. Or like all these different things that like look like they taste good.
Embalming fluid.
But they don't. It's true. Look it up. There's like, they have like 10 different colors.
I've worked with embalming fluid. I've worked in a morgue.
You know it looks tasty then.
It smells, it burns your nostrils. But what is Barbicide?
Barbicide is like when you go to a barber and they have those things that they put the combs in, where it's blue liquid. And to like, to me growing up, I was used to having like blue, the great blue Dini Kool-Aid flavor. And so anything that was blue flavor, I looked really tasty.
Delicious. Blue raspberry.
Exactly. So normally like when
Barbicide
I see things.
Barbicide sounds like it would be death by barbecue.
Well, yeah, it'd probably kill you.
It probably would.
But it looks delicious.
Yeah.
And so I could see where, like, in movies, normally, like, oddly colored drinks look appetizing to me. But for whatever reason in this one, it didn't.
Yeah,
it looked like lava lamp liquid.
Yeah.
Oh, Pedialyte. Bring me back to my younger days.
Yeah.
My very young days and then my early 20s.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, all right. So the mom becomes a Templar herself by drinking this Barbicide.
It gives her all the powers she needs to turn into a human Gundam type situation.
Yes. Mimi has a weird scene where she, like, prays. and then, like, turns, not satanic, but definitely anti- religion.
She basically cuts a wrestling promo. She cuts a heel promo on a little cross with Jesus on it, basically pretending like she needs God's help with figuring something important out, but really it's just which sunglasses is she going to wear? And then she just tells him, no, I already know which ones I'm going to wear. I'm going to wear the zebra print ones anyway. So
which
whatever.
Are cheetah print, which I thought
right,
was
yeah,
weird.
Right, yeah, it's not even right.
Yeah.
And then she grabs the cross, breaks it, just like, whoopsies, and then just walks away.
Okay, so we come to this conclusion, basically, where they're all together. I forgot the part where... They give a chance that both Luke stands up to his sister and the dad stands up to the mom. So Luke makes some comment to Mimi where he's like, I'm done, like, I'm over this. And he gets out of the car and the dad makes a comment where he's like, how's this for lazy Susan? And he drives off. Yeah, so basically the dad and Mimi go back to the shoe warehouse where they take Psycho Goreman. They're trying to kind of nurse him back. And that's when Psycho Goreman says, look, I really need that gem back. And they're trying to decide what they should do. The dad has some kind of weird little conversation with Mimi where he's like, one time this weird guy invited me into his van to see his baseball cards. And I did, and they were great.
Yeah, they were a giant. It was a giant collection of pristine baseball cards.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a lot of fun. That's what he said. So what you should do, daughter, is go be with your mutant friendo.
So yeah, so then this all kind of comes together with the mom, who is now basically this Templar demigod. And there's a huge battle that's going to happen between Psycho Goreman and Pandora and the other characters.
Yep. And then so Psycho Goreman, he's still in his weakened state. And when he's in his weakened state and she's about and Pandora's about to kill him, he basically pleads with her to have some sort of honorable contest by, right. I believe it's the law of her people. I forget what
they're called. Yeah, it was some kind of a rule where he's like, you have to give me a chance to choose my final battle or something.
And instead of doing hand-to-hand combat, he elects for Mimi to choose what they're going to do. And of course, she chooses
Crazy Ball.
And so we get the last 3v3 Crazy Ball game between Team Hero and Team Suck.
Yeah, and there's this running joke that no one really understands the rules, like they're really complicated.
Even though they're not.
They're not terribly complicated.
Like, it's complicated in the very beginning, but then it's like, I remember being a kid.
Yeah.
And conjuring up these stupid games with rules that, like, are almost made up on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And change, like, the fucking tide, you know?
Totally. And definitely with, like, the two siblings are the only ones that completely understand it. And that reminded me of, like, growing up, me and my sister, like, we had games where we used to play a game that we called Junk. So my sister and I both had cigar boxes from my stepdad, and we would collect, like, random things. Like, you know, you'd go out and your parents would let you put a quarter in those things and you'd get, like, a ring or, like, a sticker.
Oh, yeah, from, like, the little gotcha machines.
Yeah, like, you go to the grocery store or something.
Yeah.
So we would collect those and, like, the sticky hands or, like, whatever. We would collect a bunch of junk in these cigar boxes. And then we'd basically just play poker with, like, the neighborhood kids. And
Very
we would
nice.
Encourage them to make their own junk box. And we would just take all their cool little shit.
So it was a hustle.
It was a hustle. It really was.
Nothing wrong with that.
It junk. So yeah, absolutely. I can relate to
one child's junk is another child's junk.
That junk box was really fun because it would always be changing out like what was in it, and it was a lot of fun. We'd get our cousins to play. But we were the only ones with the cool, like, cigar boxes. With that, we thought that was pretty.
Right, everybody else gets, like, an animal cracker box or something.
And you're like, yeah, your junk box is just complete shit. And we're going to take it. We're going to take everything that's in there. Bouncy balls, like, all kinds of weird random
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
I used to get down on the bouncy balls for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or, like, I liked the ones, too, where it'd be, like, the cheap magic tricks where you'd, like, put your finger in a thing and then it'd have, like, a little plastic sword that you could drive through your finger and be like, look, I stabbed myself. And then your mom or dad would be like, put that fucking stupid thing away.
Okay, yeah. So they play Crazy Ball. For some reason, the little boy does like a cat face, which weren't you just referencing Motley Crue?
Yeah, yeah, because I was watching some Motley Crue videos of when they were playing last year and it was horrible. Maybe it was like last year or 2 years ago. And homeboy doesn't remember any of the lyrics to his songs. There's like there's an entire slew of videos online. We just look up Motley Crue recent videos, and yeah,
it's rough to watch. They made that movie about Motley Crue, which I actually really liked. I mean, I know it was kind of corny, but I loved Motley Crue.
I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah, the kid does his little cat mud face. They play Crazy Ball. They have the old switcheroo. That's like,
yep, the switcheroo happens that they signal right in the beginning of the movie. It's like all you need to know is that the switcheroo is significant.
Yeah, the switcheroo is when the two balls hit each other in midair, and then the first person to punch the next person just completely wins the game.
It's a great rule. It's a actually. Very good rule. I think more sports need rules like that.
Yeah, that made perfect sense. Then, so they do the switcheroo. I remember Mimi is the one who punches her brother, so they win.
Yep, Team Suck loses. She gives him a nice little snug little gut punch.
Yep. And then we get to a point where they're all singing again.
Yeah, well, so...
I might have missed something in my notes.
Well, basically, Pandora is like, well, whatever, like, I'm still gonna fucking kill you.
Right. Because, oh, right, then, that's right.
So the little girl stands over Psycho Goreman, and then the mom comes in and protects Mimi.
Right, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Pandora takes the powers away from the mom. So right. She's all back to normal. And after they win, too, after Team Hero wins and the dad high-fives Psycho Goreman and he actually legit snaps his wrist.
Fucks his wrist up, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the mom, when she comes to, she's kind of fucked up, doesn't know where she is. She's in the husband's arms and he's like, okay, honey, I'm going to need you to drive me to the hospital now.
Yeah.
The ultimate Larry move.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they display affection for one another after the song. Psycho right. Goreman sees that as affection. And the brother ends up deciding to finally give the gem to Psycho Goreman during this song. Because they're still, in the beginning, before the song, they were having it out. And he was calling his sister a bully, which she
right,
is.
That's
and
right.
calling her out for all her bullshit. And then she was finally, like, apologizing without apologizing.
She does the Morse code. Like, I'm not going to say it, but I'm
yeah,
sorry.
It's not real if I don't actually say it.
And then they sing the Frig Off song. And that's... It, like a heartwarming thing.
Gives him the power he needs to basically get back into the fight. And then
somehow, yeah, then he somehow makes a gore, like, flesh weapon.
Yeah, because she is taunting her big-ass sword.
Right.
And she's taunting
Pandora.
Him because he doesn't have a sword. Yes, Pandora. And he's like, well, basically, like, bitch, I'm gonna make a sword. And
out
then,
of you.
He dodges her and he grabs like chunks of meat from her every time he does it. And then he compiles this giant claymore of a meat sword, really kind of almost floppy. And then this is what my favorite part of the fight is, regardless of what else is going on, he sees that she had ripped his Hunky Boys magazine.
Right.
On the ground, and that's it. Like, that's all it takes. He does like a super move, like a little flippy do with the sword. Crushes down on her, snaps her sword in half, and just fucks her world up.
Yes.
No more Pandora.
No more Pandora. We get to pretty much the end of the movie. They're all walking out into the parking lot. And essentially, that's when Psycho Goreman makes this comment where it's basically like, oh, I don't need the gym anymore. Like, I found what I needed in myself or something.
It's, yeah,
stupid.
Yeah, yeah. It's what's inside. He had it all along.
Yeah, it's one of those. And then, so he goes off into this nether realm where it's actually still Earth, but it's just like he can go into a portal basically to cause destruction. And he agrees that he's not going to harm the family.
He goes through this, he's all niceties with the family, right? And then he walks through this portal and he's immediately chucking fireballs.
Yeah.
And like blowing up cars. There's a guy running away, he smacks him with a fireball. It's like, well, that didn't take too much time to, you know, ramp up. And then fast forward to, we see a news flash on the TV. It says, breaking news, giant purple man attacking, I forgot where it was. And now he's giant, like a Megazord.
Right. Very Godzilla.
Very much so. And he's attacking buildings and stuff. And that's basically it. Except now we zoom out, actually. And this is another scene. I have a feeling I'm the only person that liked it.
We
back out. We see the last scene in the movie. And it's Alistair and his parents sitting down for dinner. And the parents like don't even act like he's there or acknowledge him at all. And he's just a little brain boy. And they're just eating dinner while Psycho Goreman in his dickless rage is going all over these buildings. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was different.
good old Alistair, the brain blob.
So what would you say was your favorite scene? Did you have one?
As far as one that elicited a reaction from me the most, when he blew up the fucking kid during the music video.
I did like that.
I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
When it happened, so that got me to laugh. Probably my favorite actual scene though is when he is fucking up the Pandora's group after
okay.
he gets the gem for the first time, and he's messing all them up, and he gets to like the top of the pile of corpses, and he's got like the one in his hand. It reminded me of Doom quite a bit, the video games.
Yeah, I think my favorite scene was when, at the very beginning, when Cycle Gorman kills the thieves, especially the two heads popping off at once. I think that was my favorite part.
I liked that one quite a bit. That was a good kill.
The thing I am honestly the most interested to hear is what your rating of this movie was.
Oh, I want to hear yours first.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. I gave this -1 gem of Proxodice or Proxodique?
Not going there.
But -1 gem, whatever that thing is called.
Oh, we're breaking the scale now?
Or zero. I couldn't give it anything. I just really did not like any of it.
Well, mine's very simple. It's a 5 stars.
Of course.
It was a 4 star. Now it's a 5 star.
Now it's a
Now it's a 10 star, 100 star, infinity stars.
Yeah, you're right. I guess it's not fair to break the stars. Then I would give it 0. But
I give
if
it
you can
five.
Give it 0. You give it 5. Course.
5.
It'll be interesting to hear what other people think. If you liked this movie or if you agree with me that it was fucking garbage, write a comment. I want to know what you guys think, especially with such a divisive opinion that we have right now.
Yeah, I need some of my people to actually speak up then too, you know. So let me know if you liked it.
Yeah, and let me know if you thought it was trash. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And let us know who's right.
I mean, if we're gonna be counting points, I mean, I don't want to go there, but
I mean, to be honest, your movie has been chosen the last like 3 weeks straight.
Well, let's make it 4.
Do you know what movie you have for next week?
I do.
What is it?
I actually have it kind of planned out a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm not completely random all the time.
Okay.
But we're fast approaching the midsummer.
Oh.
So my choice is Midsummer.
Okay, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Actually, I was on another podcast talking about that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, it was. But I'll do it again.
Prepare yourself for the potential sequel
to that podcast episode. Okay, so Midsummer, that's your choice. Do you want to read the description?
Well, yeah, basically a girl who's in kind of a rocky relationship, who's dealing with a lot of traumatic stuff, tries to blow off some steam by going on a vacation type deal with some friends and for a Midsummer festival. And it seems innocent enough until it's not. And then hijinks ensue.
It's a great movie. And I love Ari Alistair?
Ari Aster.
Ari Aster. Yeah, I love him. So my choice for next week, my movie pick, was recommended to me by a friend and a comedian. He's very funny. His name is Emmett Montgomery. He's a comedian in Seattle, Washington. And he has great movie recommendations. He recommended The Conspiracy. And he recommended it to me specifically because I love cult movies. Like, I love mm-hmm. movies about cults. So this is called The Conspiracy. Have you seen it?
I think so.
Okay, it's Okay.
I wouldn't mind watching it again if it's the one I think it is.
I don't think I've ever seen it. It's 2012. The description says, two young filmmakers select a crazed conspiracy theorist as the subject for their next project. But they soon come to believe that the man isn't as delusional as they originally thought. And it's a found footage movie, which those, I feel like we've talked about this before, those can be either great or terrible.
I like most of them, though. I'll throw that out there.
I don't. I don't like most of them. So it'll be interesting. So, so those are the choices for next week. We've got The Conspiracy or Midsommar.
Midsommar.
Midsommar. Isn't that how you say it, or is it said Midsommar?
I have no idea. It's just, it's spelled Midsommar.
It's spelled Midsommar.
It sounds very Tommy Wiseau, so I'll just say it that way.
Midsommar.
Hey, you'll go to the Midsommar Festival.
Yeah. All right. So get out there and vote. You can vote on our Instagram, on our Twitter.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
At TJ Watch Movies. And we always look forward to it. We do always text each other throughout the day, too, and kind of say where the runnings are.
It's fun. You guys should try it out. The polls up. They'll be up for 24 hours. Tell all your friends.
Let them know. Share it. And please do comment, especially on this movie, because I want to hear what other people are thinking. I am looking forward to hear what other people think and to see what we're going to watch next week. That's always kind of fun. Okay, well, have a great week. Enjoy our new theme song by Tub Truly. I love it. It's great. It's much more fitting. I liked the first one too, actually, but this is, it's more our speed, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. The first one was like, hey, we're doing a podcast.
There's a
We need a song. Yeah. And we probably shouldn't pay anyone for it. Yeah. So that worked for what it needed to, for when it needed to, and now we have a more permanent solution, so that's good. I'm glad that is
you enjoy
all
it.
Sliding into place.
Yes. Yeah.
So please enjoy. Let us know what you think about that. Let us know what you think about this episode. Let us know what you think about the polls, too. If you have any movie suggestions as well, feel free to shoot them to us, because I'm always looking for new stuff to watch, and if it could be something that maybe I would want to, or Jonesy would want to use in the poll, by all means, please let us know.
Absolutely. All right, have a good week. We will see you next week.
Be well, everyone.